The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Ask yourself, what a different world it would be if each person were greeted with genuine gladness and welcome, and instead of being an imposition on our well-laid plans, they became a surprise gift and blessing to us from God.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Hebrews.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. What joy we had last time as we considered the great You Have Come. In the assembly where Jesus is with His covenant blood speaking a better word than Abel's, the word of forgiveness of sins. Their God, the judge of all, their angels in festal gathering, they're the spirits of the righteous now made perfect. They're the whole company of the heirs, the firstborn. They're the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of our God, our beloved Mount Zion. You have come. So then the warning to listen when He speaks to us, the one from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to offer Him worship that is acceptable, worship with reverence and awe, knowing that our God is a consuming fire who, in unfathomable grace, bestows on us an unshakable kingdom. So the church is with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. That's not some flight of fancy. It's rock solid, though unseen, reality in which we get to participate as we gather as a united choir with angels and men living and departed around the blood of forgiveness, the new and eternal covenant. Now, what follows from this reality, from the fact that in Jesus you've already arrived at the age to come and the glorious kingdom that will appear on the last day, that's what the remainder of Hebrews flows from. Today, a series of exhortations that describe the shape of our life here in this world as citizens of another world, of Zion, beginning at Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 6. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since You have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of Your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which You've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Ready to dig in? Let's do this. Verse 1, let brotherly love continue. If you're reading the Greek, you can't help but smile at the exhortation to make Philly your home. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Continue in it. Keep abiding in it. Let it go on and on. This is beyond doubt one of the great characteristics of life in Zion. We get to regard each other as brothers, as sisters, and to love one another like that. The Bible, of course, knows that many times the relationship of brother to brother in the natural family is stormy. Heavens, the first story after the fall is how one brother murders another. And think of Joseph. Think of David's brothers and how they spoke to him before the battle with Goliath. Think even of our Lord's brothers who were scornful of Him in John 7. But I think we know in our heart of hearts that's not the way it's supposed to be. And we have this picture of brothers that have each other's back, that look out for each other and care for each other with a bond of affection. That's the picture that's evoked here of the church. And how utterly cool it is that when human beings want to divide and segregate themselves along all kinds of silly lines, differentiating them from us, along comes God with his Mount Zion, where brothers dwell in unity. And suddenly every baptized Christian is my dear brother, my beloved sister, and even those who have not yet embraced the faith, I get to regard as called by God to be my own brothers and sisters, whether they realize it yet or not. This is what Paul gloried in when he wrote, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is no Jew or Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The children of Zion love each other as brothers and sisters. Keep at it, the speaker of Hebrews exhorts. Remember how God in Christ has made us all family to each other. Verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hey, if in Christ you're the seed of Abraham, think of what Abraham did when three strangers showed up on his doorstep. Remember how he runs to meet them, bows himself down to them, begs them to stay and eat a bite, and then sets his wife and servants to making a feast for these three men, whom he didn't actually know at first, or didn't realize that he knew at least one of them, angels unawares. Or you can think of Lot and how he received the two guests that fateful evening in Sodom and insisted they come to his home and stay with him. St. John Chrysostom, our golden-mouthed teacher from the end of the 4th and beginning of the 5th centuries, he says, some say he here alludes to Lot also. I can't help but reflect on this one in these days of social distancing. This is the opposite being enjoined, not making sure that the other is safe before you welcome him or her in, rather recognizing that it's not safe for any of us to turn away a stranger whom God brings to our door or across our path. Ask yourself, what a different world it would be if each person were greeted with genuine gladness and welcome, and instead of being an imposition on our well-laid plans, they became a surprise gift and blessing to us from God. Maybe we have so few surprises of joy like that in our lives these days because we've forgotten that God's always out to bless us through the unexpected. Verse 3. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. This is next door to St. Paul's, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Because you're part of the same body, members together of the same family, because it's your brother who landed in prison for confessing Christ, because it's your sister who was beaten in public for the same cause, you need to remember them. That probably is a twofold remembering. Remembering them in your prayers before God, asking his grace and mercy upon them in their time of tribulation and sorrow, but also a visiting of them when that can be done, so that you can cheer them also by your presence. But did the speaker mean to limit it to Christians suffering because of Christ? Or did he mean it also in a general way, since in the body can also just refer to our common humanity and the sorrows of our fellow man? I suspect this is not an either-or situation. Christ has sanctified the flesh of all humanity by assuming it, and so we cannot regard anyone's sorrow as not our concern, even if there is a special regard that we do give our sisters and brothers in Christ. Verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. This is one of the most important affirmations of the goodness of marriage in Holy Scripture. Marriage is honorable. Let it be held in honor among all, he exhorts. Now, that's really important when, in our usual reductionist way, we want to say something positive about virginity. The wrong way to do that is to extol virginity by putting down marriage, as though the one state were more honorable and pleasing to God than the other. And of course, it works in reverse. There are folks who think that putting down consecrated virginity as a state is how to praise marriage as honorable. Oh, nonsense. Stick with the text. Marriage is to be held in honor among all. But he does say that the marriage bed, and yes, that means sex between husband and wife, is undefiled. Sex inside of marriage between a husband and a wife is not sinful. It enjoys God's blessing. But God does not promise to bless any sexual relation that goes beyond that union of one man and one woman till death do them part. Here's how C.S. Lewis once put this. Chastity is the most unpopular of the Christian virtues. There's no getting away from it. The old Christian rule is either marriage, with complete faithfulness to your partner, or else total abstinence. Now, this is so difficult and contrary to our instincts that obviously either Christianity is wrong or our sexual instinct, as it now is, has gone wrong. One or the other. Of course, being a Christian, I think the instinct has gone wrong. So far, C.S. Lewis. So, the people of Zion are called to this very counter-instinctual commitment to honor the marriage bed and keep it undefiled. It's not impossible, for nothing is impossible for the people of Zion who live where there is the power of Jesus' new covenant blood. Verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Again, as St. Paul reminds us, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Theodoret of Cyrus, a contemporary of St. John Chrysostom, wrote, he forbade not possessions, but the love of money from which greed springs. There always have been and always will be Christians who are blessed with wealth, but who don't love it or serve it, instead using it to be a blessing to others. I mentioned Abraham before, and just think about how rich he was, or David. They were both poor in spirit, but rich in the good things of God, not focused on the acquisition of ever more wealth to store in bigger and better barns, as Jesus put it in the parable. You see, when you've come to Mount Zion, when you dwell with angels and gather with the spirits of the righteous perfected around the covenant blood that speaks the better word than Abel's, well, you know your treasure is really Jesus. He's the one who promises, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And so he gives us the confidence to answer back, indeed, with you, my helper, O Lord, I will not be afraid. What can any man do to me? After all, you promised, I am with you always, to the end of the age. For that, all glory be to God. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.